I received the impression of a life which was a bitter struggle against every sort of difficulty. But I realized that much which would have seemed horrible to most people did not in the least affect him. Strickland was distinguished from most Englishmen by his perfect indifference to comfort. It did not irk him to live always in one shabby room. He had no need to be surrounded by beautiful things. I do not suppose he'd ever noticed how dingy was the paper on the wall of the room in which on my first visit I found him. He did not want armchairs to sit in. He rarely felt more at his ease on a kitchen chair. He ate with appetite, but was indifferent to what he ate. To him it was only food that he devoured to still the pangs of hunger, and when no food was to be had, he seemed capable of doing without it. I learned that for 6 months he lived on a loaf of bread and a bottle of milk a day. He was a sensual man, and yet was indifferent to sensual things. He looked upon privation as no hardship. There was something impressive in the manner in which he lived a life wholly of the spirit. When the small sum of money which he brought with him from London came to an end, he suffered from no dismay. He sold no pictures. I think he made little attempt to sell any. He set about finding some way to make a bit of money. He told me with grim humour of the time he'd spent acting as a guide to Cockneys who wanted to see the night side of life in Paris. It was an occupation that appealed to his sardonic temper, and somehow or other he'd acquired a wide acquaintance with the more disreputable quarters of the city. He told me of the long hours he spent walking about the Boulevard de la Madeleine on the lookout for Englishmen, preferably the worse for liquor, who desired to see things which the law forbade. When in luck he was able to make a tidy sum. But the shabbiness of his clothes at last frightened the sightseers, and he could not find people adventurous enough to trust themselves to him. And then he happened on a job to translate the advertisements of patent medicines, which were sent broadcast to the medical profession in England. During a strike, he'd been employed as a house painter.